Good morning to those of you in person and those of you online, which probably outnumber us right now. But yeah, I'm glad we have this technology. It's one of the only good things to come out of COVID is we developed the ability to broadcast to people who can't make it. I love to tell the story. You know, for those who know it best are hungering and thirsting to hear it from the rest. We've read through this so many times. But does it ever get old? It doesn't. Do you still want to hear more about God and his love for you? Absolutely. And we're going to hear that in his word today, and then our responsibility to pass it on to others. So let's start out with our readings here.
The first reading is from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 11, verses 16 through 21. Be careful, or you will be enticed to turn away and worship other gods and bow down to them. Then the Lord's anger will burn against you, and he will shut up the heavens so that it will not rain, and the ground will yield no produce. And you'll soon perish from the good land the Lord is giving you. Fix these words of mine in your hearts and minds. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Teach them to your children, talking about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates so that your days and the days of your children may be many in the land that the Lord swore to give your ancestors, as many as the days that the heavens are above the earth. The second reading is from the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 1, verses 3 through 8 and 13 and 14. I thank God whom I serve as my ancestors did with a clear conscience. As night and day, I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in your through the laying of on my hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or me, his prisoner. Rather, join me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. What you heard from me, keep as a pattern of sound teaching. With faith and love in Christ Jesus, guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in you.
Please rise if you're able for the reading of the gospel. Today's gospel comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 8, verse 42. If anyone causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble, it would be better for them if a large millstone were hung around their neck and they were thrown into the sea. Here ends the reading. Any kids that want to leave for a children's church this time, feel free. You get to go do some activities and have some fun. And with Jill and Maya there, and all right. And when the kids leave, that means that the parents can move together too if they want. I mean, hey, what a deal. Okay. Alrighty, Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to gather in your presence. We know that you are everywhere present, Lord, and that's a good thing. Even on cold days, you know, you are with us, no matter where we are. So open up our ears, Lord. Open up our spirits. Open up our hearts, that we can hear this word you inspired and interpret it for us, that we may be changed. Amen. Alrighty, so last time we looked at faith in some detail. Faith, it's partially trust, we said. It's partially obedience. It's a confidence. It's all these things mixed together. And it sustains us. It gets us through a lot. But where does this faith come from? Well, Romans 10:17 says that faith comes through hearing the word of God. And yeah, it's very true. The more we hear it, the more it builds up our faith. And we don't just hear it from a preacher, though. It's not just from me on Sunday morning. We should be hearing it from many different places. Hearing it from God directly, of course. Hearing through other people. And throughout our lives, that's what sustained us. Our parents, we heard it through them, many of us. Some haven't, but God got them in other ways. We've heard it through relatives, through Sunday school teachers, through our neighbors, through our friends. And they're not always just preaching out of the Bible. It's the way they live. It's what they say and what they do that brings the faith to others, that shows the faith to others, and that can bring us to faith. We see that. And if we're blessed to grow up with that, that's a great thing, because that becomes our norm if we grew up with faithful parents. Not everybody does. So you don't have to go to church to hear the Word of God, right? A lot of you are at home right now hearing it, okay? But even from that, we should be hearing it through others. Alrighty, and we are now responsible for passing it on to others. We don't just get this faith and then we just keep it all to ourselves. No. As a new creation in Christ, when you are changed to be more like Him, it becomes a part of our identity, who we are and what we do, so that our lives are a testimony to Jesus. Our lives demonstrate His love to others. What we say and what we do, once again, our words and actions many times speak louder than words, will bring it to other people. It is part of our duty to bring it on to the next generation, and also to our generation, and perhaps even to an older generation that's still here on earth. And we're not just bringing up kids in the faith. We're encouraging others our age or even older ones. For some have never heard, right? Alrighty. So this was important with God, too. We go way back in Deuteronomy. He's giving instructions to His people on how they should live and how they should make faith a daily part of their lives, a daily part of their lives, giving glory to God in the process, of course, the passing it on and the importance of passing it on to the next generation so that they can grow up in the faith, so that they can have hope, so that they can have a connection with God, so they can experience His love, and they can then bring it on to others. Again, keeping it to ourselves, it would just die out in a generation, wouldn't it? But we bring it to others through what we say and do. Alrighty, so the importance here, once again, in Deuteronomy. Some of this echoes Deuteronomy 6, if you page back to that. He says, fix these words of mine in your hearts and minds. Yeah. Okay, His word is here, and we can certainly open up the Bible. But do I have this with me all the time? No, I don't. Now, those of you who got fancier phones than I do actually have a Bible with you all the time. I don't on mine, all right. But one of my boys, I know, he just pulls out his phone, and that's how he reads the Bible many times. Great, wonderful. It's portable. It's with him all the time. But the ultimate portability is shown here. All righty, fix these words of mine in your hearts and minds. Do you always have your heart with you? You ever forgot that at home? I don't think so. How about your mind? Well, maybe sometimes I've lost my mind, but that's a little bit different, right? We have our hearts and our minds, and if His word is written on our hearts and our minds, it is a part of us, it is always with us, it is always accessible on our hearts and our minds. And, wow, to be carrying that with us, that's quite a responsibility, because how precious is God's word? Yeah. And we've actually got it written on our hearts and our minds. When we become believers, the Holy Spirit fills us. We know right from wrong. We always have Him with us, right? The Spirit dwells within us and will guide us in the right paths if we're willing to listen, and will discourage us from going down wrong paths, right? Lead us not into temptation, Lord, right? Help us to stay on that right path so that we may have a fruitful life, but also bring it to others and show it to others. So fix these words of mine in your hearts and minds, always with you. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Now, if you pull up pictures of some very, very traditional Jews, they're going to have these leather straps bound around their arms with the Word of God on it. They're also going to have a headband here with a little box up front called a phylactery. Within that are the commands of God. So it's always on their forehead and bound on their arms, like it says here. They take it very, very literally. And if it's up there, I suppose it's in the front of your mind every time, too. You don't look at it that way, right? It's in the front of your thoughts. It's in the front of your mind. And it's always there in front of you. And every time you see someone else that's got that, it reminds you as well. We encourage and build up each other. Now, I suppose if everybody's wearing that little box up there, after a while, would we just not even pay attention to it because it becomes part of the norm? There's a danger in that, too. Many times rituals and traditions and things like that, they just become something that you do without thinking. And there's a danger in that. You know, something like the Lord's Prayer. You pray it so often, and sometimes you're thinking about something over here while your mouth is saying the words, right? And so to try to concentrate on that. Maybe that's what Jesus said, pray like this. Not pray this, but pray like this. But there's nothing wrong with praying the Lord's Prayer. There is so much good in there. So much good. That would be another sermon series right there. Okay, we could delve into that sometime. Okay, tie them as symbols on your hands, bind them on your foreheads. They're always with you. Teach them to your children. Yes. Teach them to your children. Kids are in a formative age, right? They're developing their worldview. It's not fixed yet. They're learning about all kinds of things. And they're like sponges. They're just absorbing everything around them. Let's make sure they're absorbing good things and not bad things. You know, all they got to do is go on the internet and they can absorb lots of bad things. Hanging out with their friends, well, hopefully they've got good friends that are going to encourage them. But we all know what it was like growing up too at times. The primary teachers of the children, though, are the parents. That's it. The primary. They're going to learn things in school, yes. They're going to learn things from the world and from others, yes. But the parents are the primary teachers. And there is such an awesome and incredible responsibility that goes with that parenting. To show them right from wrong. Teach them that. To teach them about God, His presence, and His love. To pass on these things. So that as they grow up, they're going to have a foundation upon which they can build, right? They got that solid foundation. They can build from that. You know, raise them up in the right way. And when they're old, they will not stray from it, it tells us, right? Train up a child in the way they should go. And when they're old, they will not stray from it, yes. Okay. So a little bit more on that coming. But, teaching the children for sure. Talking about the laws and about God when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. That's about every time, right? It should be a part of our daily lives. Not just something we do on Sunday mornings, but a part of our daily lives. The way we live it out, the way we pass it on, you train up the kids in that way. That, hey, this is our norm. We believe in a God who loves us. Enough to die for us and make us worthy to stand before the throne. All right, so everyday life. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates so that your days and the days of your children will be many in the land the Lord swore to give to your ancestors, as many as the days that the heavens are above the earth. If you go to Jewish houses many times, on the door frame as you enter on the right-hand side, right at about eye level, there's a little box there. Well, it's shaped like that. That's attached. It's called a mezuzah. And it contains then the Shema. If you unroll the scroll and there would say, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And it's a reminder, it's that morning prayer of the Jews that to honor God and all they say and do. It's that reminder of God's presence. Now, many of them not only have it on the door going into the house, but every door within the house, to every room, it's there, with the exception of the bathroom. They don't put one there and small closets. If you read into their traditions, they exempt that. But it's there, and it has to be periodically unrolled and inspected by a rabbi or an official inspector to see there's no cracks in it, etc. And if so, you got to get a new one and put it on there. But a lot of the traditional Jews still have it. Again, taking this literally with the phylactery on their forehead, maybe the bindings on their arms, and then the mezuzah on the right side of the door. But it puts you in front of your eyes, right? You're always reminded. You're always seeing it. You're always reminded about God and His love for you. It's an incredible thing. It's a smart thing. And we could learn a lot from that, to always be reminded. Because sometimes our thoughts and our lives will stray, and we need to be brought back on track. Remember, okay, yeah, we're living with God. But if He's in your heart, your mind, and your spirit, I mean, you're living with Him, you're living for Him. And we shouldn't even need those reminders, but hey, it helps. Okay, so passing it on to kids, I'd mentioned that. And we have a duty, an obligation, a responsibility. But not all kids are going to hear from their parents, unfortunately. Jill and I have done foster care for many years, and we've taken in many kids that have not heard about God and His love on a daily basis from their parents. They've not lived it out. They have not been told about it. But it's an opportunity for us then to plant some seeds, to tell them about a God who loves them, to bring them here and to bring them to Sunday school. And each person here, too, at Shalom, I just You have made such a difference in the lives of these kids. When we bring them here, they are warm, they are welcome, they feel like a part of a family. And it's a wonderful thing. A family that cares. I mean, it's the body of Christ, right? We care about each other. We love each other with the love from God. So children growing up without role models, that's a concern. The breakdown of the family. Look at what that's happened in the past decades. How the family is broken down. How society is now even promoting different visions of marriage or something that don't even involve a man and a woman. We're not honoring God's word in the way he set it up, right? And what's right, to do what we think is right or what he says is right? Clearly, what he says is right, okay? If we think something else is right, we better stop, control, alt, delete, okay? Get back to what God says is right, because if we're living in his ways, we're honoring him and doing the right thing. Very important. So society now is, you know, many times straying in other ways. The culture is, we need to get it back on track, of course. And that's a part of us to stand firm, to be that role model for that. To reach out to other people in a loving way, not a condemning way. It's so easy to condemn others and their lifestyles. No, it needs to be in a loving way. Hey, we want to bring you in and show what God has for you. How he loves you, how he wants you to live, to be a part of it. Teaching kids right from wrong. Again, the parents, don't leave it to the schools to do it. Don't leave it to the schools. The parents got to take the primary role in that. And if the school or the government ever starts straying, we must follow God rather than man. Acts 5:29. Always, always, always. All right, so the importance of passing it on. We've seen that here. Psalm 78, which we were going to read responsively. Could we do that at this time? We occasionally do this and I forgot, but let's read that right now responsibly. My people, hear my teaching. I will open my mouth with a parable. Things we have heard and known. We will not hide them from our descendants. The praiseworthy deeds of the Lord. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel. So the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born. Then they would put their trust in God. Yeah, to pass on to our kids that they would not forget his deeds and to keep his commands. And even the children yet to be born. And today we're pleased to have options for women presenting about the unborn. And the importance of bringing them into this life, bringing them upright. We're going to hear about that after worship today. So again, that importance, and Timothy backs it up in his last letter, 2 Timothy. He knows his time is short. If your last words are something that you're going to put great importance on, right? If you know you just had, you know, one afternoon yet to live, you're going to make sure your words bear the importance of things. And that's what he does here. He's talking to Timothy, his son in the faith. Paul did not have any biological children, but Timothy was a son in the faith. He was passing on the baton to him, that he would carry it forward, passing the torch, if you will. And he's talking about the faith of Timothy being passed down. I'm reminded of your sincere faith, which lives in your grandmother Lois, in your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded now lives in you also. So again, passed down. It's interesting here also in a patriarchal society that he's talking about the women. It's not talking about being passed down from father to son here. Interesting. We don't know anything about Timothy's father and his grandfather and why they weren't mentioned here. But perhaps it does show us once again the importance of the women passing it on. Think about kids growing up. Dad's off working. They're home with mom more often than with dad. Does the mom have an opportunity and responsibility then to pass on the faith? To show the kids what's right from wrong? Absolutely. God gave us an incredible design like that. The mother's connection with the child as well. You know, I love my three boys and our daughter, but it's not like a connection that Jill has with them. I can never achieve that. There's some incredibly strong connection between mother and child. And here, using that to pass it on. What a wonderful thing. So So we've all been given this gift, and Paul's saying to fan into flame the gift of God, right? Not just to let it glow as an ember, but to fan into flame, and it can shine brightly and make a difference in this world. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. We should never be timid about our faith. Live it out boldly. It's who we are. It's what we do. It's a part of us. It's our identity. So live out your faith boldly. Love others boldly. Pray boldly. Show compassion boldly. I'll never be ashamed to be a Christian is what Paul writes to the Romans as well, right? I'm not ashamed of the gospel. And he repeats that here. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Live out that faith boldly, folks. Live it out boldly, but in a loving way, once again, right? We're not stepping on others' toes and offending them. Occasionally they'll be offended, yes. But again, we're serving God. That's the most important thing. But in a loving way, in a compassionate way, okay? All right, so join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. To join together, we can do more together as we can individually, of course. He has saved us and called us to a holy life. The way we live then should be a testimony, a holy life. Not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. Not to build ourselves up, but for God's glory, to give him the glory in all things. Alrighty, he goes on and says, and of this gospel, I was appointed a herald, apostle, and a teacher. Is that all of us? Are we all to announce the gospel to others, to be a herald? Think of it with a trumpet, right? Maybe not in that way. But to bring the gospel with us and to show it by the way we live. To be an apostle and a teacher, to teach others. Maybe not working for the school system, but we all teach through what we do. We learn from others. Alrighty. So to some extent, that's all of us. Okay. Just getting to the last couple of verses of this passage here. Skipping ahead a little bit. What you have heard from me, keep as a pattern of sound teaching. Don't water it down, right? Sound teaching. Sticking to this, what God says is right, not what we think is right. With faith and love in Christ Jesus, to teach it with faith and love. And guard that good deposit that was entrusted to you. Each of us is given, right? To guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. So a serious matter. We've all got this faith, and we all have an obligation to pass it on. A very serious obligation. Again, keeping it to ourselves would do no good. It would die out in a generation. We are to share our faith, our love of God with others, that they can be brought in, that they can have hope for the future, that they can have peace in this lifetime, that they can have joy, that they can have love. All those things that we get to experience as Christians, a sense of security throughout the storm. Knowing that God is with us, his presence. But to pass it on faithfully, again, we must stay true to the word. Jesus said that in the gospel today, just one verse, but shows the seriousness of it, of passing on the gospel in its correct form. Not leading others astray, certainly not using this in a twisted way to lead others astray. The danger is found here. If anyone causes one of these little ones who believe in me, he's not talking about just kids. We're all God's children, right? To those who receive and believe, he has given the right to become the children of God, John 1:12. If we received him, we are children again, God's children. And that's who he's talking about. Not just kids, but misleading anybody. If anyone causes one of these little ones, that includes us, those who believe in me, to stumble, it would be better for them if a large millstone were hung around their neck and they were thrown into the sea. Wow. He could have chosen a number of different ways to die here to express the seriousness. Because there's a lot to choose from out there, okay? But just think about that. This large stone that you can't escape from, tied around your neck, dragging you down, you slowly drowning, realizing what's happening, unable to do anything about it. I mean, that's the stuff of horror movies right there, or a novel or something that's going to be, I don't read that kind, but the psychological torment that's going through a person's mind as they're being dragged down, knowing that they're drowning and there's no escape. I mean, wow. And it would be better for that to happen. So there's something out there that's worse. For those that engage in apostasy, for leading others astray, for teaching this in the incorrect form, See a lot of that today, unfortunately. Let us be true to the word and true to God, right? We must obey God rather than man. Not what we think is right, but what he says is right. So when we teach others about God, let us be true to the word. Let us teach through what we say and what we do. If it's written on our hearts and our minds, that'll guide us. We'll be living lives that honor God. Yes, we're going to screw up at times. We're subject to temptation. It's going to happen. But we repent. We come back to him. We get back on track. But let us never mislead others. The seriousness is very clear. So as we go out through the rest of the day and we go through the rest of our lives, let us show God's presence to the rest of the world. As we walk along the road, as we lie down, right? As we are at the table, throughout our lives, by what we say and by what we do, demonstrating, showing the love of God, so that our actions will speak, as well as our words, giving glory to him. Amen.